dile que tú eres mía. Mía, tú sabes que eres mía. Mía, tú misma lo decías cuando yo te lo hacía.
Ah, yes, welcome to another great episode of the Sheesh and Friends Book Club. Today we're covering Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman, and this book is freaking fantastic. Obviously, Daniel has actually won the Nobel Prize in economics because of this book, and with the assist of his help, his friend Amos Tversky. So, Ryan, what were your takeaways while reading through this thick-ass book?
The main point, I feel like, if you get one point away from this book, it's that your brain has two systems, system one, which is fast and intuitive, and system two, which is slow and analytical. And even though those sides don't work together, you need to learn how to use them appropriately, or you start making mistakes because of the way you use your brain. And then he goes through a bunch of different examples and different ways where those systems work and the traps and the flaws from those systems.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like throughout the book, right? That's basically what it is system one and system two of the way of thinking, right? And obviously Daniel and Amos were both, you know, experimenters, right? They did all these experiments, did all this research. That's what the book's based upon, right? Like, so there's not like too much detail of like, oh, all this knowledge. It's mostly like this, just kind of finding out that theory and talking deep about it. So can you explain exactly what is system one and system two and why it's so important to kind of break it down? What
was that? I already explained it.
It's okay. What did you already explain it?
Well, I said it was system one is fast and intuitive, system two is slow and analytical. That's all I have. That's all I know.
Oh, well, fantastic. So yeah, Daniel and Amos are both experimenters, and they conducted so much research on this. Unfortunately, Amos actually passed away, and this book was dedicated in memory of him. Otherwise, he would have won Nobel Prize in economics as well. And when you look at the book, when you're talking about system one and system two, like they don't work together, right? This is like the latest, just they found out in the past few years about the way your mind works, right? And when you talk about the fast intuitive and versus the slow and thinking, you actually have to like think about when you read a problem, when you're, you know, dealing things on a daily basis, you have to decide which one to use, right? Like your brain is always thinking like, which system do I use here? And naturally we usually go for the fast and intuitive one, right? Cause it's like, what comes to mind? What, real quick, right? Like that's what we try to go with. So it's really hard to think and go with the slower one, but that's actually, you know, usually the better one to go with when you're thinking of like an analytical problem.
Yeah, and the book is nice where it gives you a lot of those analytical problems and examples to show how your system two, your system one, your fast and intuitive makes mistakes by just looking maybe superficially or very quickly. And for example, there's one that's a It's under the cognitive ease section, and it's where your brain wants to go through like the path of least resistance to use like the obvious answer choice. And I think a good example is there's a bat and a ball, and it talks about the price, and one was $1.10, or together were $1.10, and one was $1 more than the other. What is the price? And a lot of people get it wrong because your brain thinks, oh, clearly the bat was $1 and the ball was 10 cents. No, it's $1.05. And now our brains are done. So the quote I took away from this is that if there's time to reflect, slowing down is likely to be a good idea. And I think that's very valuable just in everything you do. Like if it's really important to you or something you really want to do a good job, maybe better to sit down and reflect and plan it out and think about it than to hastily go in and think something's obvious or intuitive.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, throughout the whole book, right, there's all these examples and questions for the reader, right? And, you know, I found myself like, you know, when I first thought of a problem, when I just read it, you know, I came up with this, you know, answer, right? But then if I took more time with it, if I slowed my brain down, I'm like, what exactly is this asking, right? And then you come up with the right answer. I feel like that's something we all go through. And it's not just problems, right? It's not just when you get a math problem or something like that. It's just on daily life, like, right, how you react to things. You know, this is kind of like what the book dives into. And I think he does such a good job of explaining it, right? And actually, one of my closest friends, Raghu, he actually, you know, it's one of his favorite books. And he's telling me he changes the way Daniel Kahneman changes the way you look at data forever, right? And he mentions like anyone that's working with stats or data or numbers really needs to read this book, right? Because it is like it's something you don't really think about that often. But I think it's fantastic stuff to know. I mean, for me, two examples that really popped out were the Linda problem, right? And they talk about how, you know, you kind of describe someone, and this is to top graduates of a top law or top business school program. And, you know, 85% of them got the answer wrong, only because when you start thinking of things, you kind of think intuitively, oh, like what is the answer to this question? And honestly, what you should be thinking is you kind of forget exactly, you know, everything you've known, right? And I feel like that's the interesting part here.
It hit that point hit me when I was talking about people and how your mind thinks certain things when you hear facts and puts them together, because it made me think of cognitive bias or on subconscious bias, where something maybe you've already experienced or already know, you kind of just go to that direction without thinking about it. And that's where you get those like maybe microaggressions, racial biases, things like that, just from your experiences or quick judgment calls from that system one side of your brain. That's what made me think of it, because some of those examples lend itself to that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, with some of the other examples you gave, like when you think about like bread and blank, right? Like you instantly think of butter, right? Like it's just, so it's very interesting just to read through and go through the examples of this book. One quote that stuck out to me is, nothing in life is as important as you think it is while you are thinking about it. I just love that quote. And I feel like that's so true. It really rung true with me. So we can talk about the rating of this book right here, because I feel like the summary, the takeaways, you know, we kind of go over it. We could go more in depth and talk about more examples, but I feel like the reader themselves needs to go through these examples and you know, feel, you know, exactly why it's so important. So yeah, Ryan,
there's too much depth in the novel. There's so many different examples and ways your brain works that it's just doesn't do justice to the book to just give a few points, because there's just so many in that book. And like as you said, you just have to read it to get everything they're trying to explain.
Yeah, so we can get into rating and who'd you recommend it to, because I feel like there's a lot of like pros and cons of this book. It's definitely different in style than the past few we've read. But just getting into it, when you think about this book, the reason I chose it is because I've heard so many good things about it, right? And it makes sense, right? When you think about analytical perspective, it kind of like how, if you're trying to learn how your brain works and how, you know, it processes things, right? I feel like this book is very vital. It's very important. It's awesome to know that, but it's definitely different compared to the things we've read. So Ryan, what's your rating on it? Who'd you recommend it to? And what are your pros and cons of the book?
Well, the first thing that we already touched on and alluded to when talking about this book, it's very dense. It's 400 some odd pages. I mean, it has an index and an appendices to it. So I think that's telling enough for the nature of the book. It's very science heavy. It's very study focused, how your brain works, the sides of your brain. So it's a very dense, very deep, very science focused. So I think, and it's something that is not, you know, these are the things you need to change your life, like the compound effect, for example, or like clear points. It's more of this is how your brain works. And you kind of have to gather through that and decipher what you want to take away. So it's not as clear cut as maybe other self-help types of books. So having said that, I think as someone that likes going through studies and problems and seeing that science side of how the brain works and breaking that down for themselves. So I think that's who I would recommend it to. It might not be for everybody. If someone wants a quick read, for example, or something that gets to the point and these are three points that you need to do to change your life, this is not the book for you. But if you want to really get into your brain, how your brain works, how to think about that on a deeper level, and it's for you in a scientific approach. Having said that, the pros in this book are definitely that it gives a lot of examples that you can apply yourself to, like answer it or think about it, which is my favorite part of it, because then it makes you feel stupid sometimes and then makes you realize how your brain is flawed in a way if you're not using it appropriately. The con is it is very dense, and there are a lot of different examples, which is good and bad. It's good because it shows so many different ways your brain works and can be flawed and all those different examples. At the same token, it can be very heavy and very hard to like keep up and read. It's not like a one day read. It's not a couple of weeks, I would say, if you want to get it, like you need to sit down and be focused on it type of read. So I guess that's a negative. It's something you got to really sit down and focus yourself on. I mean, I have a lot of respect for that. I mean, these scientists, is great data, great information, great science. This for me as a reader was dense for me personally. And there's a lot of are tough examples. So I would just give it a 4 out of 5 just because of the density of it and the heavy science nature. And I think that's probably influenced by the fact that we read The Compound Effect, Power of Habit, and then Alchemist before that, which is a fiction book. So just having those types maybe influence the fact that going to the heavy science type of book changed my opinion. But again, there's nothing against the science and the background of these authors and the dedication to Amos and everything they did for the book. It won a Nobel Prize for a reason. So,
yeah, I think those are really solid points, Ryan. You know, not to, I don't want to reiterate everything you just said, but yeah, I think the biggest issue with this book is that it is a thick ass book, right? Like I said, it is nearly 400 pages. But I think, like you mentioned, that is a pro as well, right? Like, you really go in depth with all these examples. And obviously, you know, Daniel's just a very renowned psychologist, and they spend so much time researching and experimenting. So you got to appreciate that. And you know, like I said, if you have enough time and you're willing to read it and, you know, kind of just push through, because like I said, when we're talking about the previous books we've read, when we talk about simple books, this is not one of those. But I think it is a very important book to know, right? It's an important book to read. I think the knowledge in it is invaluable, right? And I think, you know, when I was reading through the book, it was a little bit of a struggle. You know, we talked about this. I was like, you know, this is a thick book. It's, you know, you have to really sit down with it and really go through. But by the time I was done with the book, I was actually very happy I got to read and got to know the stuff, right? Is like I said, invaluable and very, you know, great. So I really appreciate this book, and I would give it a 4.3. Like I said, I think I'm just deducting points because it is just quite a bit of stuff out here. But like I said, I think it's great, the examples that he gives, right? Because when you actually experience something, you kind of get what the author's talking about, right? Like a lot of the books that we read in the past, if you haven't been doing the habits, right, you may not understand exactly what the power of habit is, right? The compound effect, you if you're not practicing it, you don't know. And like, I just enjoyed this throughout the book when he gives you examples of like, okay, here's a problem. How does your brain think about it, right? And like, oh, here's the actual answer, and this is why you thought of this, right? And I think it's just really self-explanatory and beautifully designed. And we were talking about math problems early on, right? Like, you know, I wasn't the greatest at math in high school and whatnot. Like when you solve problems and your choice, you know, isn't on the multiple choice, you're just like, what do I do here, right? So it's an issue, right? You know, other people are using their graphing calculators and protractors, and you're like, what am I missing here? So like I said, you know, I think especially, you know, something Raghu mentioned, something I'm going to tell you, like, especially if you work with numbers, if you work with data and all these things, and you're using, you know, you're having to use your brain all the time for problems like that, I think this is a very important read for you. And especially just for anyone in general, I think they could benefit from it, because it's very interesting to know how your brain works, right? Like, we use it on a daily basis. So it's interesting to know about the system one and system two, and you can see yourself actively using one or the other. Because like he mentioned, you don't get to use them both together, right? Your brain has to decide, which one am I going to use here? So that's why it's better to think slow a lot of the times and you know, really comprehend what the question's asking.
And I think you have to appreciate that. I mean, this is this author's passion. He's a psychologist. He did his studies most of his life with Amos. So for him to write this book and to disseminate the information, you got to give him credit, and you got to really take it for that as well. I mean, this is his life work. This is what he's done with Amos. So I appreciate it for that too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So there's also one very interesting example that really stood out to me was during this colonoscopy study. They actually had two different groups, one that went through a normal colonoscopy and another group that actually, like, without being told, the doctor would take a longer time, right? And that does not sound fun at all. And when they asked the groups how they felt afterwards, it turns out the second group that actually had like a longer process felt less pain, you know, and without knowing that it was going to take longer or what exactly was happening, they actually felt less pain than the first group that just took a normal, you know, colonoscopy. And I was like, that's very interesting, because you want to think about that, right? Because if you get told, hey, your colonoscopy is going to take like an extra 10 minutes, right? You're going to be like, what? Like, no, thank you. But like, turns out like you actually benefit from it, but like, not something you'd really think about when you first get told that. And there's actually another amazing quote I want to throw out there before we end this discussion here is, we are prone to overestimate how much we understand about the world and to underestimate the role of chance in events. I think that's a very good quote in the book as well. And I feel like, you know, along with the multitude of examples and research behind this book, there are actually a lot of quotes that really stick out, you know, and a lot of treasures you'll find here and there. So definitely give this book a read. I think, you know, like I said, I think all these books that we read, whether it's, you know, helping your self-development or whether it's, you know, helping this other skill, right? This is a very analytical type thing. It's something you can understand about yourself. I think this book's fantastic. I know you had one more quote, Ryan. You want to tell us what it is?
So I just wanted to mention one last quote to wrap this. It's a good summary of the book. The premise of this book is that it is easier to recognize other people's mistakes than our own. I think this is a good way to be thinking of our brain and what our cognitive errors are. And so we need to focus on that instead of jumping on others' tails for things they do, because we're making a lot of mistakes, whether we know it or not. It's a good eye opener in that regard.
Yeah, and I also enjoyed in the introduction how he said, like, he wanted this type of topics to be talked about when you're getting, you know, water at work, right? You're talking to other colleagues and you're actually like absorbing the information and looking at the, you know, terms that people talk about and stuff, and you're like, okay, you can kind of relate it to this book. And I thought that was fantastic. That's a pretty great quote, Ryan. I really appreciate it. And like we talked about actually quite a few times in the past, I just want to share with the listeners, like, you might start reading this book and be like, this is a drag, right? Like, I've told Ryan a couple of times, I took this on vacations twice and was unable to even get started because it's not something you can read like on a plane or even at the beach, right? Like, this is a definitely like a dense book and hard to read. But like I said, I just sat here at my desk and got through it the past 2 weeks. So I really love this book, and I think everyone reading it will enjoy it if they get through it. So yeah, thank you. And that wraps up this episode of the Sheesh and Friends Book Club. Next up, we've got Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. That's a fantastic book. He's a great author, and we're looking forward to that talk. Thank you so much for joining us this time, and until next time, we're out. See ya. Un día tal vez.